My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And I need all the antibodies I can get. Because
antibodies.
Yeah.
Little conditioner.
Yeah. The antibacterial.
Trust me, I am not passing judgment because it's tough, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And look, to be honest with you, could I have taken more showers? Sure.
I could have bathed.
To me, I just kind of wait until the end of the day.
Yeah.
And to make sure, because you never know if I'm going to have to be up on a ladder somewhere or doing whatever. And so, yeah, I just generally, the last 3 days we've been at my sister-in-law's house.
Mm-hmm.
So shower power, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been the whole thing. But even then, it's like, I just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to jump in the shower, let the water hit me, cool off. Bing, I'm out of there. I want to hit the couch.
That's one of the things we wanted to hit. Obviously, we're getting into Texans training camp starts this week, baby. And the Astros at the All-Star break. We'll get right into that. But
damn, 3 days, man.
Three days. I wanted to bring this up, especially with you here and all our listeners. It's pretty sad that we have to do this again.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, 1 week after, like the hurricane was coming in right now a week ago.
That's right.
And 1 week after, it's pretty sad that we still have to do this. But let's do a barrel check. Because first with you, I want to get your story on how this has been, because it's amazing. You're in the Northeast, which is really taking it hard.
Yeah.
And still doesn't have power in a lot. And I saw one thing this morning. Hey, there's down to 350,000 people without power. That's 350,000 homes.
Yeah.
That's 350,000 homes. That is not, I mean, yes, thank you. And thank you to the guys on the front lines that are doing it. It's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a lot. That's third world stuff, man, after a week.
Yeah, well, and it's important, too, because, when you're giving these updates, I missed my words a little bit last mm-hmm. week when I was doing these updates on the regular with Seth. I was doing this, the 6 to 10, and somebody had texted, and it's like, hey, man, it's not people, it's homes. And I'm like, yes, I know, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just easy to kind of just let that go. But, yes, you're 100% right. I had this, you know what? Moment last night, I'm on the couch and I'm realizing like I can get on the internet a little bit.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, it'll be there, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna I'm tired of looking at all these Facebook posts like, hey, this is what Centerpoint said, da da da, or hey, they're hanging up on people or they're not responding to my calls.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. I was like, I'm gonna just try this.
Yeah.
So I called, waited on hold for about 20 some odd minutes, and this is 9:30 at night.
Jesus.
I hung up with this damn woman at 9:54. I marked it because I figured we'd talk about it this morning. Needless to say, long story short, I found out that what's today, the 15th, my area is not scheduled to get power until the 19th. The freaking 19th, dude.
Think about that.
Like, it is
Why are we here?
And I've been hearing like, oh, but part of like a nested area, you know, without power. I'm like, BS.
Yeah, I don't
care. You drive down Westlake. Yeah. That is a huge ass nest.
Yeah.
Like, people in Summer Lake Ranch don't have power. People in Summerwood still don't have power. People, you know, I don't even know what Kingwood looks like.
It's bad. My wife has been off because of the school year. She's a school director up there, but she went in today just to kind of start getting stuff ready for the school year and all that stuff. She says it is miserable.
Yeah.
It is depressing driving around Kingwood. I mean, it's ridiculous. And here's one thing I wanted to mention. We'll get back into this in the noon hour. We want to give everybody a barrel check. 713-572-4610. If you have any stories, et cetera, feel free to text us also on YouTube and Twitch. Yeah, that is up. But I saw this. So in 2008, when Ike hit, and all this discussion about infrastructure and grids and all that started happening, my family was in Walden on Lake Houston at the time. And we were without power for 11 days. It was incredibly bad, incredibly bad. But at the time, people were saying, we got to fix this. We got to fix this. We're going to change the grid. We're going to change this leadership, blah, blah, blah. Dude, 16 years later, they're saying,
still an issue.
They're saying that power restoration right now is going at a slower clip than after Ike. Let me repeat that. Slower. It is power restoration is going at a slower clip now after Beryl than 16 years ago when they said they were going to fix
all this stuff. That's incredible. It's just the billions, the billions of dollars that these companies are making year in and year out. Like, how much of that is actually devoted to research and how to improve the system?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've been much more privy to the information that's flowing since the hurricane.
Yeah.
Internet's been sketch. Hell, I can't even make phone calls sometimes. It's just been the towers, I guess, inundated with people trying to just contact people. So I've gotten information few and far between. And so I'm not going to come here and speak irresponsibly about something that I don't know. I can just tell you I'm frustrated like thousands and thousands of other people are in that I do want answers. Eventually, I need answers. Mm-hmm. When this thing returns to whatever normal is, whatever the new normal is going to be, I need those people at Centerpoint, the higher ups, like Jason Wells. Is that executive vice president, CEO,
whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that this is completely accurate, but I heard some things that he was saying and doing on a camera over the course of this weekend that were just absolutely asinine.
Yeah.
And so when you're put in a position of power, you're going to have to answer the tough questions. And I would just like for once for you to forget about the damn camera, forget about the damn microphone, and be a freaking human being and be honest with people. I mean, it's ridiculous. And God love this man, but it's ridiculous that I need a mattress salesman to be the most transparent and honest person that we have in this city, the most giving and loyal person. Shout out Mattress Mac. The guy's a badass. But I expect that from my CEOs of billion-dollar companies, Centerpoint, billion-dollar companies, NRG. Like, let's help the people that make you great and rich out every once in a while.
It's like someone said last week, I'm tired of being Houston strong. Why don't we just get it done right? You know, we shouldn't have to. Let me ask you this very serious question, and 713-572-4610 if you were still without power. I'm asking this with the backdrop of my daughter was, I want to say, 14 or 15 years old in 08 when Ike happened.
Yeah.
All right. To this day, and what I'm getting at is emotional scars, maybe just, triggers or whatever. She freaks out when power goes out, even if it's just like a blackout for 3 or 4 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it leaves marks. How are you guys holding up?
I mean, you know, that is a real thing. You know, the trigger, if you've got anxiety problems, you know, stuff like that. So I can absolutely relate to that, not personally, but people in my family that do deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very real. So my wife actually reminded me about Ike in 2008 mm-hmm. the other day. She goes, you do realize that we were without power for 10 days during Ike. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I didn't remember. It's like, you know, you experience it, you deal with it, and then you move on. Like, I've just never been able to, like, think of old storms. The one that I do remember was actually the year before that when we had, was it Rita? We had Rita. Yeah. It was Katrina, New Orleans, mm-hmm. and then we had Rita.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that because I had gotten so intimidated by that storm, given where my old house was located,
mm-hmm.
that I was living with my grandfather, who was 88, 89 years old at the mm-hmm. time and has since passed away. But I said, all right, we got to go. We packed up the whole house, put everything up, locked everything up, and we bolted down 45.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I never went that fast in my car with my grandfather before. I mean, I guarantee you, I was going 90, 95 down an empty feeder road on 45. I got to I-10 in Voss. We sat there for 3 hours, and my grandfather had to go to the bathroom, and he peed on the side of, like, HCC over there, I-10 in Beltway. And then at that point in time, I was like, we're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll dehydrate. Like, he'll be in serious trouble if I continue down this road.
Yeah.
And so I ended up calling my buddy. We ended up staying in Siena Plantation for the entirety of the storm. They lost power for like 30 seconds.
Oh, man.
Got like maybe a drizzle.
Yeah.
And a little bit of wind, and it was nothing.
Yeah.
We ended up going back to the house. Everything was fine. That's the one thing that I remember because it was such a significant event in my life, trying to take care of my grandfather. But 08 and all these other storms, I don't know the names of. It's just you get through it and you move on.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you this right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned a hard lesson. Because I know now not to trust a damn soul.
Exactly.
I'm going to buy my ass a generator.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy my ass a window unit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stock up on gas like 2 weeks before you think there's a storm that's going to come or it may not come or it may hit 800 miles south of where it actually does. Like, I'm buying all this stuff now because I have to. I've been trained to not trust anybody with any authority.
Nor should you. Yeah. Nor should any of us.
Yeah.
It's And that's what I'm talking about right here. You know, the trust factor is zero at this point, and it does leave marks. Those are the things that people in power, whether it's at Centerpoint or the leadership that have you know, been dragging its feet for damn near 16, 17 years now, that they need to realize. And you are 100% right. It shouldn't come down to, as much as it's appreciated, the private sector, you know, Mattress Mac. Yeah. Bringing some light to this and kicking some butts, you know.
Sure,
it's just
I love having heroes in my community. I mean, I think that is important. I think when people have the opportunity, the wherewithal, the means, the resources to rise above and help the community the way that Mattress Mac and so many other you know, business owners and philanthropists do, that's fantastic. That's a story, and I love to talk about that. I love to recognize those people, but at some point in time, the companies, the individuals that are responsible for making billions of dollars for said company and millions upon millions themselves, like, you know what? Be a hero.
Yeah.
Like, you step up and be that guy. Like, I don't want to learn, you know, Jason Wells and, you know, whatever other slap name, you know, when they're making an ass of themselves in front of a camera. That's not the point in time in which I want to know your name. And that's not the point in time in which you should want us to know your name.
Yeah.
Like, what is your legacy? It should be more about, you know, the size of your bank account and make your legacy about, you know what? That 1 year when we had that storm and bleep went sideways, we did the right thing.
Yeah.
We helped people. We didn't stand, you know, or stand pat and sit on our hands and refuse to let linesmen go to work because we can't agree with their parent company on a contract or payment.
Yeah.
Like, let's get this thing going, man, and help the people now, and we'll worry about the payment later.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Last thing, and then we'll get into the Astros. Hey, man, it's happening. It's the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And things are happening. But I found out last week that the Yucatan Peninsula, when Beryl hit, nowhere on the Yucatan Peninsula was power lost more than 3 days.
That's incredible.
Mexico.
Yeah.
Say what you will.
Just go ahead and just rub that right in there.
Say what you will. 3 days.
Yeah.
It's the most.
That's... What do we
can't do
now?
It in the energy capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, energy capital of the world, still going in some cases, like you and 350,000 others. Mexico got it all back in 3 days.
And look, I am not woe is me.
Yeah.
I know there are people in this city that are far more worse off than the situation that we've had to go through. I mean, it's just I tell my wife, it's like, hey, man, you just get through it. I mean. Yeah. You know, you don't sit around, you don't complain about it. You just got to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I do fencing on the side.
Yeah.
You know this.
Yeah.
And I've taken little old me has taken about 30 bids since the storm. So I've done 30 bids and I stressed myself out to the point in which I'm thinking like, I'm going to do all these jobs.
Yeah.
I'm just taking the bids.
Yeah.
I haven't committed anything. Nobody's committed to me. I'm just taking the bids. I had to kind of sit down, calm down, mm-hmm. relax, because I put myself in people's situations like their fence is down. They need it back up yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I was just stressing myself out. Well, come to find out, like once I decompressed, I said, you know what? I got a couple panels that need repairing at my house.
Yeah.
And I go home yesterday. I open the front door. Mm-hmm. I've got an ant problem.
Oh, God.
I got ant beds living in my gutter system. They're crawling in the house, into the front door. And so I dealt with that.
Yeah.
Once that was remedied, I said, okay, my wife's taking a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Kiddo's playing, you know, in the house. And, you know, he likes to help me with the fence. I'll have him come out and help me with the fence.
Yeah.
Got everything ready. I got all my tools out there. I had one battery that I knew it like subconsciously. Yeah. This is how like chaotic things are.
Yeah.
I was like, I got one battery. I put it in my drill and I'd put screws in my fence instead mm-hmm. of nails. So for this reason, I could just go pop those screws out, take the panels off. I bought the new stuff, could put it back on. No problem. No lie, dude. I put my damn drill in that first screw and it goes.
And
I said, son of a, I don't have any power. I can't charge my batteries. You know, it's like, what the hell was I thinking? I spent an hour at Home Depot getting all these supplies and talking to people and this, that, and the other thing. And I get home for this? Seriously? And it's like,
That's a womp womp.
Yeah. And then I'm thinking, like, well, not only can I not do my stuff.
Can't do anyone.
How the hell was I going to help people? Like, what if somebody said, yeah, come on over, start today.
Oh, well.
Okay. Be there at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, that's fun times.
Extension cords with near neighbors don't even have power. Yeah, so.
No, and then. Yeah. Well, yeah, and if my neighbors did have power and I was actually able to go help them, like, I've transitioned all of my tools from, you know, electrical, you know, and not dealing with the wires to all battery powered.
Yeah.
So there's your big womp-womp. Fantastic, man.
Good Lord.
713-572-4610 is the number that you can use to join us. You could call, you could text. Love to hear from you. We've got the YouTube stream up and working, Twitch as well. You can join the chats there. Watch us. We'd appreciate you. And again, there's obviously updates, unfortunately, still to give you. We will do that as we see fit, if there actually is any update from a positive standpoint of view or even negative.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, John, that there's areas around town that are still helping people with, like, food and water and ice and things like that if you do need it. And so as we learn that information, we'll pass it along to you.
Yeah,
as
and
well.
Of course, you can go to sportsradio610.com. All that information on everything from cooling centers to what you just talked about is on sportsradio610.com.
Shout out to B. Scott, too, for handling up on that website. Like, that guy has been busy beyond belief the last week or so, doing different shows early in the morning, midday, like, and then still taking care of the website for us. So,
props
to him.
One other thing on this, you know, more people are getting power. Obviously, 350,000 homes is not a small number, but it is happening. It will happen. The July 19th thing, hopefully that is something that is going to be, you know, quicker than that.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it's pretty sad that this is where we are. It's pretty sad that we have to have this discussion today.
Yeah. And look, I wasn't looking forward to coming here. But
we needed to, because there's so many people in your boat.
Sure. And it is important to vent. And I'm blessed enough to where, and you are, we all are as well, here at 610. We've got a microphone and we can share, you know, our thoughts, our feelings and frustrations with you and give you the opportunity to do the same thing. But at some point in time, when you just tell me that, hey, you know, in other parts of the world, this is just not a thing, man. It's 3 days. It's 2 days. Whatever the case
may be. Same hurricane.
Yeah. And we're going on a week. And I get it. 2008. This is 2024.
Yeah.
This is the energy capital of the world, Houston, Texas. And we're dealing with this garbage.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the people that are in far worse situations. You see how desperate people are.
Yeah.
When, what was it, last Thursday, I think it was, Ocho had texted in the show and he'd said, hey, Bajani, up by us, he lives up by me too.
Yeah.
He said, hey, that Kroger, Bun B's going to be out there with Trill Burger and he's going to be giving away food for 3 hours or until they run out, from 8 to 11 it was, whatever it was. I think it was Thursday or Friday. I said, that's badass, man.
Yeah.
I'm driving home after the show. John, it had to be 1,000 people.
I'm sure.
And maybe more coming. You know that.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah,
there's like five different entrances into that massive complex of shopping centers, stacked,
coming in from everywhere,
just stacked, and the lot was full. I mean, you'd think the freaking like Drake or somebody's performing, like Bun B's having a concert thing, like something big's going on. Dudes flipping burgers and passing them out to people. This is what we were looking at, like, in that area.
Yeah.
It is weird. Like, I just got a text. It's like, damn, Sean, we live in a nice area. And it's like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
But it is not a small nest of, you know, of a power outage. It is an entire area. Like, that is the entire Lake Houston area. It's a big freaking lake.
Yeah.
That portion of town, and I told you this, like, coming into work even every day last week and again today, it is a completely different world from downtown west.
Oh, no, it absolutely is.
East, it is, holy crap, what are we doing here, man? Insane. He's John Lopez, Sean Bajani. Yeah, we'll talk sports. In fact, coming up next, we've got some storylines regarding Texans training camp. You know what they are. They're out there. Which questions could carry this team to the top of the AFC if it's answered? We'll discuss next. It's Sports Radio 610. You're in the loop.
Figgy, let's hit him big time. Austin. Let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go. Let's go. Hey, Sam.
Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, here we go. Happy Monday. In the loop, Sports Radio 610. I'm Sean Bajani, in with John Lopez and Figgy Fig today. It honestly is really, really good to be here. Truth be told, you know, before even all of this hurricane mess, John, yeah. I've been sick since last Tuesday, dealing with some kind of cold, flu thing, whatever it was.
As if it couldn't get any worse.
And I tell you, you know, props to my wife. I do want to say this to her. She may be listening as she's driving around looking for food and stuff this morning, but she's a badass. Mm-hmm. Like, not only did she take care of our four-year-old during the time, I was in bed for five straight days, so you know it's bad. When I don't get out of bed, it's bad. And five straight days, she took care of the kiddo. And then the hurricane, and I've been doing fence bids and this, that, and the other thing, and coming here early in the morning all last week. It's been crazy.
Yeah.
So I said last Tuesday. Last Monday was the hurricane. I've been sick since the Tuesday prior.
Oh, Lord.
So, and yeah, I still got a little bit of that crud still in me. Yeah. But it is really good to be here to feel energized, to kind of talk things through with people. And you're more than welcome to be a part of the show, man. That's what we do it for. 713-572-4610. You can hit us up via the text line. Texans training camp, you mentioned this, underway in 3 days.
We need this.
Yes.
Like, this isn't like the Astros and Harvey and winning a World Series, but man, this has been a tough, tough week and weekend.
100%
for Houston.
And we'll get into
that more specifically. Many,
many reasons why it's been a tough weekend.
Kind of depressing.
Very depressing, yeah. Very sad in a lot of instances. But you're right. We do need this. And look, I think I might have told you this last week or 2 weeks ago when we last did a show together, that could you imagine what this time would have been like from a sports and entertainment standpoint for us here in the city if these Astros weren't playing the way that they had been? If I mean, we were just waiting and waiting. Come on, Texans. This is the most highly anticipated season in franchise history, and it's about to start.
It's about to start. Football season starts this week, and that's not hyperbole. I mean, they are going to be on the field. It's you know, our listeners know this. It is absolutely, I don't know why, but even more so than covering games or a big game and or stuff like that, training camp is just my favorite time of the year. I think it's the newness of it, sort of a spring, so to speak, a fresh start, even when they're not considered to be a conference contender, which they are.
Yeah.
And so we'll be out there. Obviously, Sports Radio 610 is going to have you covered. Everybody's going to be out there. We're going to be broadcasting our show live. We're going to have guests right off the field.
Yeah.
It's going to be refreshing and cool just to see some of these names. But that kind of leads to what we were talking about, what you teased here. Like, we all know, I mean, we already know the storylines. Mm-hmm. We've talked about them this offseason. You know, I'll give you five, okay? And the question becomes, like, if one of these, Figgy, get in on this, if one of these, like, gets to an otherworldly level, like a supreme level, like, it, they don't only answer the questions, but they become like an absolute plus for this team. How far does this team go? Let me give them to you. So offensive line is one of the storylines, specifically Tytus Howard and Kenyon Green.
Yes.
So just sock these away, Figgy, and imagine like if they become not only, you know, serviceable and good, but like they reach an altogether other level. Cornerback. We know what we have in Derek Stingley. We're pretty sure on that. What if the other cornerback, whether it's Kamari Lassiter, who would have to be the odds-on favorite at this point, or Okuda or Henderson, maybe safety, the cornerback position reaches an altogether other level. Stephon Diggs is not the guy. Like, well, you know, maybe he's a little bit, losing a step, whatever you want to call it. What if he comes in and is Stephon freaking Diggs?
Yeah.
Will Anderson. We know and we expect him to take another step. What if he blows the doors off it? You know, like just becomes an absolute must game plan for him kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is Joe Mixon, which I feel like we're talking about him, so you can't say we're not talking about him enough, but I feel like we're not giving him enough credit. What if he rushes for 1,200 yards and receives for 500 yards, which, by the way, he did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He did exactly that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So of those five things, Like, if one of those, which one of those getting to another altogether higher level would mean the most for this team?
I think offensive line. For me, I think offensive line's got to be it because it's multifaceted, mm-hmm. right? If the offensive line is solidified, then that automatically would improve the run game.
Mm-hmm.
That automatically would give C.J. Stroud even a little bit more time than he had last year to get through his reads, which yeah. now include an extra badass in Stephon
yeah.
Diggs.
Yeah.
So with the offensive line, to me, the wide receivers, the quarterback, and the running back are all married together within mm-hmm. that. So to me, that is the key. And in essence, for the sake of this conversation in yeah. the specific question that you ask,
studs.
I think it's that way.
Studs.
But when we're just talking football throughout the course of the season, what does it always come back down to?
Yeah.
The offensive line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And how much did we talk about it being the case last year? And why was it so special for what the Texans accomplished last year with all of the injuries? I mean, even at left tackle, Laremy Tunsil was banged up literally since week three.
This
you know,
true.
He was being load managed. The situation at left guard, the center position, which was flip-flopping back and forth mm-hmm. after Patterson's injury. Never mind, you know, David Questenberry's yeah. injury after, like, what? Scott Questenberry, sorry.
It was a training camp. Yeah.
yeah, 2 weeks into camp.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know the story by now. It just, to me, always comes down to the offensive line.
I'm going to say the cornerback position, man. I think last year Steven Nelson was a good number two. This year, we got Okuda, you got Henderson, and Lassiter, rookie. I think, man, it's very important. I want to see what these three can do.
Yeah.
If Lassiter beats out the other two, I think that's a great thing, man, because I don't think the other two are, like, bad,
yeah.
but I think the one thing the Houston Texans got this year that they didn't have last year was depth.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of cornerbacks now that can step in if somebody get injured.
This was a tough one for me, so I really had to think about it. You're right on the offensive line. Obviously, you're right at cornerback. But I feel like, just like wide receiver Stephon Diggs and really running back, like, we've seen this team sort of make do. We've seen C.J. Stroud make his offensive line better even when it wasn't good.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen them make do at cornerback with Derek Stingley holding down one part, and then they're mixing and matching largely with Steven Nelson on the other. We've seen the running back with last year, you know, sort of having so many struggles, and then they finally get things going at the running back position. And we know that Stephon Diggs, even if he does take a step back, they have two other dudes that are going to be potentially elite as well. Elite is the word I'm looking for. What if one of these questions going into training camp on Thursday, one of these areas becomes elite? So that kind of narrows it down for me. Will Anderson. Because if Will Anderson becomes elite, like, I'm not talking about J.J. Watt, but an elite rush end,
mm-hmm.
you know, double-digit sacks, tackles for losses, you have to game plan for him. They got a double-digit sack guy on the other end.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter.
You know, they got Danico Autry moving to the inside.
Yes.
Who can bring a lot of pressure to the quarterback. My answer is Will Anderson. If he can become elite, like, all of a sudden, this defense is ferocious.
Yeah.
Like, this defense is just absolutely ferocious.
Okay, so if he can become elite,
mm-hmm.
then you think that carries them to the next level.
Yeah.
I would say Will Anderson becoming elite is probably the most expected amongst these five things.
Maybe, that to you be have elite. Listed,
right?
Yeah,
to be elite.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's still question marks about Joe Mixon. I think there is definitely room to have a conversation mm-hmm. 3-4 months down the road, John, where we might be having the conversation, damn, did the Texans really need to extend Joe Mixon like after they traded him? Like, yeah. I hope we're not having that conversation,
yeah.
but we very well could be. We very well could be having the conversation of, damn, cornerback is still an issue along, you know, opposite yeah. Derek Stingley.
That one would be bad if it goes the other way.
Yes, if it goes the other way. And the next, it might even be ahead of mm-hmm. the Will Anderson thing, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I feel like if we're as excited as we are about this team, not because of Stephon Diggs, but he almost gives you validation
yeah.
to be excited about this team going to the next phase.
Yeah.
And legitimately contending for an AFC title here because of the quarterback, because of Nico, because of Tank. You add a superstar wide receiver here who, by all indications, just look at his track record. He's been that guy. Yeah. He's supposed to be that guy again. If he was as good as he was last year with Josh Allen and that offense being discombobulated as it was, what do you think you're going to get from him this year with CJ?
I mean, there really is no wrong answer here, but I'm just trying to envision Will Anderson elite on one end, Danielle Hunter double-digit sacks, Autry in the middle. Holy moly, that would be amazing.
I would add a sixth. I would just say maybe this is CJ Stroud year two.
Well, yeah, you know I was almost kind of eliminating him because we know that's what the expectation is. But but yes, absolutely.
He's John Lopez, Sean Bajani in the loop. What do you think? Which one of those storylines, if it is answered in a positive fashion and one of them emerges as elite, which one of those do you think could carry this team to the top of the AFC? You can continue to text in on that, 713-572-4610. Coming up next on In the Loop, we'll localize it. We're going to hit the big three, baby. I love this. Really, Texans, Rockets, and Astros, all that next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Sean Bajani in with John Lopez this morning in Figgy Fig. So the Astros drafted a Sam Houston State player yesterday. Catcher.
Shout out to B. Scott.
Walker Yannick. How about that? Shout out B. Scott. I know a lot of people in the city of Houston in the media that went
What's
their
slogan? Eat them up, cats.
Eat them up, cats.
Eat them up, cats.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know a lot of Bearcat alumni here in the city of Houston, so definitely shout out to the Bearcat country. Walker Yannick, right-hand hitting catcher, 21 years old. I actually was at the in-laws last night and was able to watch the pick.
Okay.
And so I got to see a little bit of the analysis after the pick was made. And boy, when you tell me best defensive catcher in the draft, when you tell me this is a well above like where he should be in terms of bat, handling pitchers, a defensive catcher, an astronomical pop time of 1.8, I love it. And you can never have too many catchers, J-Lo. This is a pretty exciting pick, to be honest with you, because Yannick, I do know this, with all of the watch boards, and I read a bunch of pieces in the weeks leading up to this on The Athletic, ESPN, Baseball Prospectus. This guy was mentioned on all of them.
Oh, for sure. No. And shout out to Sam Houston State, too. I was actually very, very happy. It's just cool.
Yeah.
You're going to ride up the road. Grew up an Astros fan, like big Astros fan. So it's a cool story. It's cool that he's local, but I do have a couple questions for you because it did just got my mind wandering a little bit. He's a third year college player. Like, so he's been around.
He's mature.
College players tend to get to the major leagues quicker, as we all know. How long until we see him up here? I mean, is it out of the realm of possibility 2 years?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think 2 years is probably really favorable.
Yeah.
I would say maybe three, you know, when he's his age 24 season.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because, look, he had a fantastic career at Sam Houston State. He's not facing the, you know, high velocity pitching.
But
that
they don't.
Typically
but they don't face
chump.
They have a very good schedule.
You know, his thing though, Walker Yannick's thing is that when he went up to Cape Cod League, he did really, really well.
Yeah,
against the nation's best. That is the big key. So you swing at a wood bat. You're going up against the nation's best. You're seeing the movement. You're seeing the velo.
Yeah,
and he did a great job. So I think for that reason, and because he is a catcher. Now, they believe in the bat, too.
Yeah.
If you look at Yiner Diaz and ask me the question, is this guy long for the catching?
That's my next
position?
Question. That's my next question. What does it mean for Yiner Diaz?
I would say that, again, you can't ever have too much catching, and maybe the Astros do believe Yiner could continue to develop and continue to get better behind the dish. But when you've got a guy this advanced for his age.
And Yiner can swing the bat.
You'd love to save that. Yeah. If that means future first baseman Yiner Diaz,
thank you.
I would be all about that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in 2.5-3 years' time, it clears the way for Walker Yannick.
Yeah.
100%, I think that's a possibility.
I think it was probably a factor. Mm-hmm. It's true. You can never have enough catch. You can never have enough anything.
Right.
To be honest. But pitching and catching especially. And I started thinking, you know, maybe that was part of the equation. Like, we know they're getting a better version of Yiner Diaz every week.
Yeah.
Like, he is clearly developing. This franchise itself back in the day, totally different ownership, totally different everything, you know, did the same thing with Craig Biggio, you know, who was a catcher that they wanted to save. They saw his bat. They saw the potential, and they moved him to second base. It just got me thinking on that. So you would agree.
I absolutely agree. I think that, again, it's a testament to the Astros scouting department for their foresight in projecting what they're going to need, what's really important down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can do that for a mature collegiate player, much easier to do that.
Yeah.
And there's a higher success rate, obviously, in doing that versus a high school prospect. We saw gobs of high school prospects.
Yeah.
Taken every year on the draft, and there was one really studly one taken just a few spots before the Astros last night.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who it was.
I can't remember his name, but it was a kid from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous prospect. I mean, you talk about just the makeup, the build, the bat, the defensive prowess already. The last name started with an R. I can't remember his name. I feel like he went to the Phillies, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. But it's just
Dante Norrie.
Yes. Yes. N-O-R-N-O-I-R, I think.
N-O-R-I.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dante Norrie.
Well, you look at the film on that cat.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Man, he's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, and look, we're not going to get all into all the nuts and bolts of high school prospects and the draft, but there are some high schoolers.
There's some dudes. All I'm saying. There's some dudes, but more easily projectable. Walker Yannick, certainly one of them, especially at his position. The Rockets and Reed Sheppard, man. I don't know about you. I saw about a minute and a half to 2 minute highlight clip of just him against the Lakers in the summer league.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit everything. I mean, the guy knocking down mid-range, pulling up from, God bless America, dude, like 27 feet at the top of the
key. You watched some of this, right, Figgy?
Holy smokes.
I tried to. Yeah. I missed all those highlights. I kept seeing Bronny.
Yeah,
they kept showing doggone Bronny and JJ Redick.
Well,
all that.
You being a Cleveland dude, you're on kind of a different Twitter feed, you know, maybe. Yeah,
well, no, I did see some of the highlights on because I'm on Rockets Twitter too. So they found the right clips, but I actually tried to watch the game on ESPN.
Yeah.
And they kept showing Bronny, they kept showing his stats, they showing JJ Redick and being all cheesy, talking about, oh, wow, you sound like you did this job before.
Oh, God.
Like, all right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I haven't seen you in a long time the NBA Finals.
I'm not going to get too crazy, although it would be easy to do about Reed Sheppard. It would be very, very easy to do. And do all these projections like Yahoo Sports said, hey, put him on the Rookie of the Year list. And I'm like, let's tap the brakes on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. What was most impressive about Reed Sheppard from what I saw, he looks comfortable playing at this level.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
I'm gonna say the cornerback position, man. I think last year Steven Nelson was a good number two. This year we got Okudah, you got Henderson, and Lassiter, rookie. I think, man, it's very important. I want to see what these three can do.
Yeah.
If Lassiter beats out the other two, I think that's a great thing, man. Because I don't think the other two are like bad, yeah. But I think the one thing that Houston Texans got this year that they didn't have last year was depth.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of cornerbacks now that can step in if somebody get injured.
This was a tough one for me, so I really had to think about it. You're right on the offensive line. Obviously, you're right at cornerback. But I feel like, just like wide receiver Stephon Diggs and really running back, like, we've seen this team sort of make do. We've seen C.J. Stroud make his offensive line better even when it wasn't good.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen them make do at cornerback with Derek Stingley holding down one part, and then they're mixing and matching largely with Steven Nelson on the other. We've seen the running back with last year, you know, sort of having so many struggles, and then they finally get things going at the running back position. And we know that Stephon Diggs, even if he does take a step back, they have two other dudes that are going to be potentially elite as well. Elite is the word I'm looking for. What if one of these questions going into training camp on Thursday, one of these areas becomes elite? So that kind of narrows it down for me. Will Anderson. Because if Will Anderson becomes elite, like, I'm not talking about J.J. Watt, but an elite rush end, mm-hmm. you know, double-digit sacks, tackles for losses, you have to game plan for him. They got a double-digit sack guy on the other end.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter.
You know, they got Danico Autry moving to the inside.
Yes.
Who can bring a lot of pressure to the quarterback. My answer is Will Anderson. If he can become elite, like, all of a sudden, this defense is ferocious.
Yeah.
Like, this defense is just absolutely ferocious.
Okay, so if he can become elite, mm-hmm. then you think that carries them to the next level.
Yeah.
I would say Will Anderson becoming elite is probably the most expected amongst these five things.
Maybe to be elite,
right? To be elite.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's still question marks about Joe Mixon. I think there's definitely room to have a conversation mm-hmm. 3-4 months down the road, John, where we might be having the conversation, damn, did the Texans really need to extend Joe Mixon like after they traded him? Like, yeah. I hope we're not having that conversation,
yeah.
But we very well could be. We very well could be having the conversation of, damn, cornerback is still an issue opposite yeah. Derek Stingley.
That one would be bad if it goes the other way.
Yes, if it goes the other way. And the next, it might even be ahead of mm-hmm. the Will Anderson thing, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I feel like, if we're as excited as we are about this team, not because of Stephon Diggs, but he almost gives you validation
yeah.
to be excited about this team going to the next phase
yeah.
And legitimately contending for an AFC title here because of the quarterback, because of Nico, because of Tank. You add a superstar wide receiver mm-hmm. here who by all indications, just look at his track record, he's been that guy. Yeah. He's supposed to be that guy again. If he was as good as he was last year with Josh Allen and that offense being discombobulated as it was, what do you think you're going to get from him this year with CJ?
I mean, there really is no wrong answer here, but I'm just trying to envision Will Anderson elite on one end, Danielle Hunter double-digit sacks, Autry in the middle. Holy moly, that would be amazing.
I would add a sixth. I would just say, maybe this is CJ Stroud year two.
Well, yeah, you know I was almost kind of eliminating him because we know that's what the expectation is. But but yes, absolutely.
He's John Lopez, Sean Bajani in the loop. What do you think? Which one of those storylines, if it is answered in a positive fashion and one of them emerges as elite, which one of those do you think could carry this team to the top of the AFC? You can continue to text in on that, 713-572-4610. Coming up next on In the Loop, we'll localize it. We're going to hit the big three, baby. I love this. Really, Texans, Rockets, and Astros, all that next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Sean Bajani in with John Lopez this morning in Figgy Fig. So the Astros drafted a Sam Houston State player yesterday. Catcher.
Shout out to B. Scott.
Walker Yannick. How about that? Shout out B. Scott. I know a lot of people in the city of Houston in the media that went
What's their slogan? Eat them up, cats.
Eat them up, cats.
Eat them up, cats.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know a lot of Bearcat alumni here in the city of Houston, so definitely shout out to the Bearcat country. Walker Yannick, right-hand hitting catcher, 21 years old. I actually was at the in-laws last night and was able to watch the pick.
Okay.
And so I got to see a little bit of the analysis after the pick was made. And boy, when you tell me best defensive catcher in the draft, when you tell me this is a well above like where he should be in terms of bat, handling pitchers, a defensive catcher, an astronomical pop time of 1.8, I love it. And you can never have too many catchers, J-Lo. This is a pretty exciting pick, to be honest with you, because Yannick, I do know this, with all of the watch boards, and I read a bunch of pieces in the weeks leading up to this on The Athletic, ESPN, Baseball Prospectus, this guy was mentioned on all of them.
Oh, for sure. No, and shout out to Sam Houston State, too. I was actually very, very happy. That's just cool.
Yeah.
You're going to ride up the road. Grew up an Astros fan, like big Astros fan. So it's a cool story. It's cool that he's local, but I do have a couple questions for you because it did just got my mind wandering a little bit. He's a third year college player. Like, so he's been around.
He's mature.
College players tend to get to the major leagues quicker, as we all know. How long until we see him up here? I mean, is it out of the realm of possibility 2 years?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think 2 years is probably really favorable.
Yeah.
I would say maybe three, you know, when he's his age 24 season.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because, look, he had a fantastic career at Sam Houston State. He's not facing the, you know, high velocity pitching.
But they don't. But they don't face chump. They have a very good schedule.
You know, his thing though, Walker Yannick's thing is that when he went up to Cape Cod League, he did really, really well.
Yeah,
against the nation's best. That is the big key. So you swing at a wood bat, you're going up against the nation's best. You're seeing the movement. You're seeing the velo.
Yeah,
and he did a great job. So I think for that reason, and because he is a catcher. Now, they believe in the bat, too.
Yeah.
If you look at Yiner Diaz and ask me the question, is this guy long for the catching?
That's my next question. That's my next question. What does it mean for Yiner Diaz?
I would say that, again, you can't ever have too much catching, and maybe the Astros do believe Yiner could continue to develop and continue to get better behind the dish. But when you've got a guy this advanced for his age,
and Yiner can swing the bat.
You'd love to save that.
Yeah.
If that means future first baseman Yiner Diaz,
thank you.
I would be all about that.
And
maybe in 2.5-3 years' time, it clears the way for Walker Yannick.
Yeah.
100%, I think that's a possibility.
I think it was probably a factor. You can, you know, it's true. You can never have enough catch. You can never have enough anything.
Right.
To be honest, but pitching and catching especially. And I started thinking, you know, maybe that was part of the equation. Like, we know they're getting a better version of Yonner Diaz every week.
Yeah.
Like, he is clearly developing. You know, this franchise itself back in the day, totally different ownership, totally different everything, you know, did the same thing with Craig Biggio, you know, who was a catcher that they wanted to save. They saw his bat. They saw the potential, and they moved him to second base. It just got me thinking on that. So you would agree.
I absolutely agree. I think that, again, it's a testament to the Astros scouting department for their foresight in projecting what they're going to need, what's really important down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can do that for a mature collegiate player, much easier to do that.
Yeah.
And there's a higher success rate, obviously, in doing that versus a high school prospect. We saw gobs of high school prospects.
Yeah.
You know, taken every year on the draft, and there was one really studly one taken just a few spots before the Astros last night.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who it was.
I can't remember his name, but it was a kid from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous prospect. I mean, you talk about just the makeup, the build, the bat, the defensive prowess already. The last name started with an R. I can't remember his name. I feel like he went to the Phillies, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. But it's just...
Dante Norrie?
Yes. Yes. N-O-R-N-O-I-R, I think.
N-O-R-I.
Dante
Norrie.
Well, you look at the film on that cat.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Man, he's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, and look, we're not going to get all into all the nuts and bolts of high school prospects and the draft, but there are some high schoolers.
There's some dudes. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. There's some dudes, but more easily projectable. Walker Yannick, certainly one of them, especially at his position. The Rockets and Reed Sheppard, man. I don't know about you. I saw about a minute and a half to 2 minute highlight clip of just him against the Lakers in the summer league.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit of everything. I mean, the guy knocking down mid-range, pulling up from, God bless America, dude, like 27 feet at the top of the
You watched key. Some of this, right, Figgy?
Holy shit.
I tried to. Yeah. I missed all those highlights. I kept seeing Bronny.
Yeah,
they kept showing doggone Bronny and JJ Redick and
well,
all that.
You being a Cleveland dude, you're on kind of a different Twitter feed, you know, maybe. Yeah,
well, no, I did see some of the highlights on because I'm on Rockets Twitter too. So they found the right clips, but I actually tried to watch the game on ESPN. And they kept showing Bronny, they kept showing his stats, they showing JJ Redick and being all cheesy, talking about stuff. Oh, wow, you sound like you did this job before.
Oh, God.
Like, all right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I haven't seen you in a long time the NBA Finals.
I'm not going to get too crazy, although it would be easy to do, about Reed Sheppard. It would be very, very easy to do. And do all these projections like Yahoo Sports said, hey, put him on the Rookie of the Year list. And I'm like, let's tap the brakes on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. What was most impressive about Reed Sheppard from what I saw, he looks comfortable playing at this level. Like he was making passes that, you know, and not just passes, but just making plays, tipping balls and just sort of handling it. He just looks comfortable in the role.
You know, I forget who'd said it, John, but it was draft night and it was one of the analysts and they were going over the film before right after the Rockets had made the pick.
Yeah.
And it was something that they'd said in regard to his awareness on the court. They were talking about it from a defensive standpoint. Mm-hmm. Dude, offensively, in the highlight package that I saw, those passes you talk about him making where he pulls up short in the lane, dumps off with a cutter down low, or kicks it out for three to reset the offense, whatever the case may be, like... How long has he been with these guys?
Yeah, that's
like
my point.
A few days?
Let's not go too crazy about what we saw. It is summer league. But I think we can be feeling really, really good about the way he plays the game.
Yeah.
He looks comfortable.
He does. He looks comfortable. It's going to be a fun watch for sure, man. Mm-hmm. I can't get over how young he looks, especially in a suit.
How about his hair?
He's like ready to make his first communion or something.
Looks like an altar boy.
Yeah, he does. Definitely.
Yeah.
We mentioned this earlier, and I know we're going to talk about it because I do feel compelled to. And I know with a lot of these gentlemen that we're going to discuss here, you knew them personally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some of them I did, some of them I didn't, but it was a tough weekend for Houston personalities that, you know, lost their lives. The first one that I saw that we obviously had a fan relationship with, a media relationship with, in some regard, Jacoby Jones, passing away at the age of 40. Very, very sad. And then Ken Hoffman, longtime writer for the Houston Chronicle, Was still doing work as recently as this past week was writing.
Yeah. Yeah, this past weekend, I think Friday, he wrote something. And look, we all know, you know, obviously the way we feel about it. Two guys taken, you know, too quickly, too soon. Either way, Jacoby Jones, a friend of mine, sent me a picture of me and Jacoby back in training camp in like 2009 or something. And it just sort of hits you. And Ken Hoffman, just an absolute Houston legend. Quippy, funny, just an incredible writer. I worked with him at the Chronicle. And it's just we have to mention, because these are two people that certainly in Jacoby Jones' case, way too soon. He's a Baltimore Ravens legend. Like, he is a Ravens legend with what he did against the Broncos in the playoff game. And certainly very, very popular here. It was great seeing Chris Myers and a lot of the guys, former Texans, you know, giving their tribute. But just tough. And I said this, and we might revisit it again. This has been a tough, sad week in Houston. Between Beryl, these guys being taken too soon.
Yeah.
Just the power outages, just everything. It's just been a tough week. So, yes.
Sean Pendergast had a tweet about Jacoby Jones, him being one of his first interviews on radio.
Yeah.
And that was a great quote about him talking about his frame coming out of college into the NFL, you know, just weighing like a 185 and then with bricks, you know, in his pockets. He had a way with words. And so I found this quote that I wanted to share with people. This was Jacoby Jones about 10 years after the fact, talking about a 70-yard touchdown catch that he'd caught from Joe Flacco in the AFC divisional round playoff game. He'd said, quote, "When I ran into the end zone, it was quiet. You heard rat piss on cotton." I'm like, this ain't real, end quote. Like, that was fantastic. Only Jacoby Jones.
That sounds like Jacoby Jones. Yeah. Absolutely sounds like
only Jacoby Jones.
Jones
could have summed it up that way. Yeah. Fantastic stuff. And there's some other memories and things that I want to share in regards to him and Ken Hoffman that we'll do later on in the show. Coming up next, as we roll into hour number two, ESPN data analyst Mike Clay projected exact numbers for the Texans offensive players. We're going to share those with you next. See if you like them, love them, or hate them. You're in the loop at Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, and look, we're not going to get all into all the nuts and bolts of high school prospects and the draft, but there are some high schoolers.
There's some dudes. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. There's some dudes, but more easily projectable. Walker Yannick, certainly one of them, especially at his position. The Rockets and Reed Sheppard, man, I don't know about you. I saw about a minute and a half to 2 minute highlight clip of just him against the Lakers in the summer league. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit of everything. I mean, the guy knocking down mid-range, pulling up from, God bless America, dude, like 27 feet at the top of the
You watched
key.
Some of this, right, Figgy?
Holy smokes.
I tried to. Yeah. I missed all low highlights. I kept seeing Bronny.
Yeah,
they kept showing doggone Bronny and JJ Redick and
all
that. Well,
you being a Cleveland dude, you're on kind of a different Twitter feed, you know, maybe. Yeah,
well, no, I did see some of the highlights on, because I'm on Rockets Twitter too, so they found the right clips, but I actually tried to watch the game on ESPN.
Yeah.
And they kept showing Bronny, they kept showing his stats, they showing JJ Redick and being all cheesy, talking about, oh, wow, you sound like you did this job before.
Oh, God.
Like, all right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I haven't seen you in a long time the NBA Finals.
I'm not going to get too crazy, although it would be easy to do, about Reed Sheppard. It would be very, very easy to do. And do all these projections, like Yahoo Sports said, hey, put him on the Rookie of the Year list. And I'm like, let's tap the brakes on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. What was most impressive about Reed Sheppard, from what I saw, he looks comfortable playing at this level. Like, he was making passes that, you know, and not just passes, but just making plays, tipping balls, and just sort of handling it. He just looks comfortable in the role.
You know, I forget who'd said it, John, but it was draft night, and it was one of the analysts, and they were going over the film before right after the Rockets had made the pick.
Yeah.
And it was something that they'd said in regard to his awareness on the court. they were talking about it from a defensive standpoint. Mm-hmm. Dude, offensively, yeah. In the highlight package that I saw, those passes you talk about him mm-hmm. making where he pulls up short in the lane, dumps off with yeah. a cutter down low, or kicks it out for three to reset the offense, whatever the case may be, like, how long has he been with these guys?
Yeah, that's
like
my point.
A few days?
Let's not go too crazy about what we saw. It is summer league, but I think we can be feeling really, really good about yeah. the way he plays the game.
Yeah.
He looks comfortable.
He does. He looks comfortable. It's going to be a fun watch for sure, man. Mm-hmm. I can't get over how young he looks, especially in a suit.
How about his hair?
He's like ready to make his first communion or something.
Looks like
man.
An altar boy.
Yeah, he does. Definitely.
Yeah.
We mentioned this earlier, and I know we're going to talk about it because I do feel compelled to. And I know with a lot of these gentlemen that we're going to discuss here, you knew them personally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some of them I did, some of them I didn't, but it was a tough weekend for Houston personalities that, you know, lost their lives. The first one that I'd saw that we obviously had a fan relationship with, a media relationship with, in some regard, Jacoby Jones, passing away at the age of 40. Very, very sad. And then Ken Hoffman, longtime mm-hmm. writer for the Houston Chronicle, was still doing work as recently as this past week was writing.
Yeah. Yeah. This past weekend, I think Friday, he wrote something. And look, we all know, you know, obviously the way we feel about it. Two guys taken, you know, too quickly, too soon. Either way, Jacoby Jones, a friend of mine, sent me a picture of me and Jacoby back in training camp in like 2009 or something. And it wow. just sort of hits you. And Ken Hoffman, just an absolute Houston legend, quippy, funny, just an incredible writer. I worked with him at the Chronicle, and it's just we have to mention because these are two people that certainly in Jacoby Jones' case, way too soon, he's a Baltimore Ravens legend. Like, he is a
yes.
Ravens
yes.
legend with what he did against the Broncos in the playoff game. And certainly very, very popular here. It's great seeing Chris Myers and a lot of the guys, former
oh,
Texans,
yeah.
You know, giving their tribute. But just tough. And I said this, and man, we might revisit it again. This has been a tough, sad week in Houston.
Yeah.
Between Beryl, these guys being taken too soon.
Yeah.
Just the power outages, just everything. It's just been a tough week. So, yes.
Sean Pendergast had a tweet about Jacoby Jones,
mm-hmm.
him being one of his first interviews mm-hmm. on radio.
Yeah.
And that was a great quote about him talking about his frame coming out of college into the NFL, you know, just weighing like a 185 and then with bricks, you know, yeah. in his pockets. It was, he had a way with words. And so I found this quote that I wanted to share with people. This was Jacoby Jones. About 10 years after the fact, mm-hmm. talking about a 70-yard touchdown catch that he'd caught from Joe Flacco in the AFC divisional round playoff game, he'd said, quote, "When I ran into the end zone, it was quiet. You heard rat piss on cotton." I'm like, this ain't real, end quote. Like, that was fantastic. Only Jacoby Jones.
That sounds like Jacoby Jones.
Yeah.
Absolutely sounds like
Jacoby
Jones. Only Jacoby
Jones could have summed it up that way.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. And there's some other memories and things that I want to share in regards to him and Ken Hoffman that we'll do later on in the show. Coming up next, as we roll into hour number two, ESPN data analyst Mike Clay projected exact numbers for the Texans offensive players. We're going to share those with you next. See if you like them, love them, or hate them. You're in the loop at Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.